there is a temptation to lean into what works rather than what is actually you. So I think there's churches all over the place that don't know their own sound. And here's my case in what you're saying is that the Lord wants our sound. He wants our unique ministry to him.
You're listening to the Presence Pioneers podcast. Hey everybody, I'm your host, Matthew Lilly, and I'm here with special guest, David Valier. On the podcast today, we're excited to talk about all things worship and creativity. And David Valier is an amazing worship leader out of the Charlotte, North Carolina area. And he's a friend, and I'm so excited to have this conversation today. For those of you who are new, welcome. Thanks for tuning in today. What we like to do on the Presence Pioneers podcast is help you to experience and host the presence of God, because we believe God's presence changes everything. So if you have a passion, a hunger for worship, prayer, missions, revival, this is the podcast for you. So please hit follow or subscribe wherever you're tuning in. And for those of you who are tracking with us regularly, welcome back. It's great to have you. Thank you all for engaging with us. Thank you for sharing and liking and rating and reviewing and emailing us and commenting and all the things that you do to engage with us. We really love that and appreciate all of those things. David.
Hey.
Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, just very happy to be here. Let me say this. I really like Matthew Lilly. And I think I encountered you for the first time years ago when you had, what was your band called? Was it 622?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
622. I think it was in the Outer Banks. Sorry, we were doing some event. You guys were there. I was not even worthy of being called any kind of anything. I just was there doing worship. And yeah, I remember seeing you, and you had really long hair back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, ever since then, always really liked you. And then I had the pleasure of working with you with At Awaken the Dawn and all this stuff. And anyway, I just want to make the statement. I think Matthew Lilly is a top tier guy. And I'm just happy to be on here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. I didn't realize we went quite that far back, but that's, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah. We do. We go back. But yeah, man, I'm just happy to be on here. Anytime we could talk about worship and the heart of worship, any kind of thing like that, I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we just had you here to Greenville, North Carolina, just a few weeks ago.
Right.
For our event, Phenomenon 2025. We had a great time. You and a couple of musician friends were with you. And we just had a wild time worshiping, people getting free, dancing, shouting, singing, releasing songs. We had a blast.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I actually had somebody give me a testimony. They wrote me and they said that they felt like they got blasted into space, which that was, I've heard that before, but they were like, literally, I felt like I got blasted into space. And then I had like this vision that I was having a picnic with Jesus. And I was like, well, that's great. I was like, that's fantastic. So yeah, I was,
that's awesome.
It was a really great time though.
Yeah, we had fun under a tent, which we've been doing, you know, over the years through Awaken the Dawn, a lot of tent gatherings, which, you know, have their pros and cons, but there's some fun about being in a tent, you know, it's nice. Well, since you are new to the Presence Pioneers podcast, I thought we could let you share a little bit about your story, your journey, who you are, introduce yourself. A little bit, and then we can get into some of the, you know, other things about worship. But who is David Valier? What's kind of your story?
Oh, wow. Well, I'll say this, born and raised in Lafayette, Louisiana. If you don't know where that is, I always can now say we have a claim to fame for two things. One is Swamp People. It's like recorded, like, I would say 20 minutes down the road from where I grew up. So like the Atchafalaya Basin, alligators in our backyard, crawfish, the best food in all of America, in my opinion. And then number two, Lafayette is considered the happiest city in the nation.
Really?
Yeah, it has been voted that. I don't know if it got voted that maybe this year, but if I remember correctly, it's been the past couple of years, it's won like happiest place to live. And they really are, because everybody is just eating the best food, the nicest people you'll ever meet. I just have fond memories of growing up as a Cajun kid. I mean, just never had my shirt on, always shoeless, always outside,
nice,
always eating great food. So that was kind of my upbringing. So Lafayette, Louisiana, I grew up there and I experienced so much amazing things there, especially with the Lord and with music from a very young age. So I grew up in, I'm sure you know what this is, Assemblies of God.
Yeah.
Very different than kind of what we're in now. But, you know, I remember we had a pastor, his name was Pastor King, and he was like old school revivalist, like with some of those guys that we've heard about. I mean, he was running with all of those guys. He was doing amazing, amazing stuff. And he began to really pour into my life at a very young age and really start pointing me to the Lord, I would say more than anyone at a young age. And I really began to find the Lord for myself in my teenage years because, you know, growing up, I was a little bit more under the impression that God was really up here and I was down here and I couldn't access him. But there was something that switched in my teenage years. You know, once I got filled with the Holy Spirit, began to really, you know, find him. There was this, I remember there was this little room in our church, and this is going to sound funny, but it was a nursing mother's room. Is that what you call them? And it's like one of those, it had one of those like glass windows or whatever. So during the week, it was always empty, right?
Yeah.
So I was homeschooled towards the end of my schooling and like the last few years. And so I would spend, when I tell you, Matthew, hours, I can't even keep up with how many hours I would spend in there, but hours a day listening to old Morningstar music, right? Like the old 90s CDs.
Yeah.
And just having my own personal time with the Lord. And I remember that's where I fell in love with Jesus, his presence, worship, the spontaneous was there. No one really taught me anything because, to be honest,
this was like high school age.
Yeah, high school age. So no one really taught me anything because I was just kind of observing and learning in those, in that little nursing mother's room, just having this time with the Lord. And to be honest, that like I was almost kind of like discouraged from listening to that music a little bit, not from my parents, but just from people who just were kind of leery of just that kind of expression. But I just could not get away from it. I couldn't get away from it. There was a point in that time where I actually ordered like VHS tapes. Yes, I'm showing my age, y'all. but I ordered these VHS tapes, right? And I would get stacks of them, and would just watch these worship moments from these conferences and events. And that's honestly where I learned to lead worship and lean into the spontaneous. I watched those things, Matthew, like they were football tapes. You know how like people,
I studied.
And you know, I'll even say when I was younger to the point of like mimicking, you know, I got out of that obviously, but I studied those tapes. I saw how they waited. I saw how they listened. I saw how they communicated with each other. I saw their passion for the Lord. And it was just contagious to me. That started me on my journey into worship. And at a very young age, at like 17 and three fourths, I look at my mom and I say, I'm leaving. Peace. Like deuces, I'm out. And I packed my stuff and I moved to Fort Mill, South Carolina and joined the school out here, the ministry school, and began to just really go after the Lord, come out here. And, you know, that journey had all kinds of ups and downs, as one does in your teenage and early 20s.
Sure.
But, you know, I was really drawn to wanting to know the Lord and who he was in worship, in a relational way. I just always felt it in my deep. And so it was just something that I couldn't get away from. And so that's how I ended up here in the Charlotte area, because I just felt like a drawing. And honestly, like I said, it's not that anyone really presented it to me. It was, I felt personally chased down by the Lord since a young age. And in that little room, I felt like I really got to know him. And there was something I knew that I needed to learn more and to begin to go deeper with him. And so to me, that was my logical next step. And so I came out here to Charlotte. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff in between that, all that. But I'm just trying to get the big picture here.
Sure.
You know, from there, I did ministry school. Like I said, ups and downs, whatever. And then around 2000 and I think 13, I actually started working in ministry for the first time, like for real working in ministry. And at that point, I was an assistant to a lady named Molly Williams, some of you might know who she is. I know you know who she is, Matthew. But
yeah,
she is one of those people that I say is like an unsung hero, because she really is like just a legend in the worship space. But not a lot of people know about her, but she is responsible for so many people being in the places that they're in. But anyway, I was an assistant to her for like a year or two. And then like in 2015, I became the worship director, and that developed into worship director, communications director, marketing director, conference director. I mean, just all kinds of stuff all the way into 2021. And then, you know, a lot of amazing things happened in that time. And then in 2021, I had a sudden shift to go with Awaken the Dawn, which is unexpected, because where I was at, I was there for a long time, and honestly had no plans on leaving.
Yeah.
And so then I was with Awaken the Dawn, still am. And so that's kind of the ministry side of things. And then briefly, I'll just say this. In 2013, I met my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time. That's always, if not the most important part of the story, but she and I began to date. We got married in 2015. Fast forward, you know, to now, where are we, 2025? We have two boys, Jacques and Johan, and they are
awesome.
Wild. One is my exact twin. If you know me personally, that means he is absolutely unhinged. And so that's Johan. He's my four-year-old. And then we've got an eight-year-old named Jacques. We've got two dogs, Sting and Pepper. Sting is my best friend for life. I'm just trying to give you all nice. The big points. But yeah, that's kind of my life in a nutshell.
That's awesome. Yeah. Hey, do you remember how you got a hold of those old Morningstar CDs originally?
Oh, yes, I do. I remember there was a youth pastor of mine. His name was Quentin Self. And it was almost like it felt like a black market deal, honestly, because like it was almost like he's like, yo, I got these CDs. He's like,
I got this stuff.
He's
man.
Like, but don't tell pastor, you know, kind of like he's like, they're really good. You can really feel the Lord. He's like, here, you can borrow them. Because you remember, we borrowed CDs back then, or we burnt CDs. But I think
copied them and stuff.
I think he felt like a conviction for burning the CDs or whatever. But But anyway, so I like borrowed these CDs. Well, I never gave them back because I was just addicted. I remember I used to listen to Praise the Lord on My Soul, that 27-minute track or however long.
Yeah.
Over and over and over and over. But that's how I got a hold of them. But it felt almost awesome. Like I shouldn't. I was like, but it changed my life.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. It's amazing how much influence those, I think, I don't know if there were four albums, I think, from that conference that they put out in the 90s that was so many people were impacted by those recordings. I've heard a number of people bring them up actually on the podcast. Over the years. So I was a little late in the game in hearing those, because it was early 2000s when I kind of became aware of Morningstar. They were a little past those, but then once I kind of had experienced the worship at Morningstar, which early 2000s, it was still pretty fiery.
Yeah.
I mean, it was still pretty awesome. And Leonard was there, and Susie and all these people. And it kind of freaked me out actually the first time I went to a Morningstar conference. I liked Vineyard and Hillsong and some of these different places, but I'd never seen anything quite like that. So I was I was kind of cautious. And for those who don't know, just the wildness of flags and art and weird dancing, and just seemed like musical jam sessions for, you know,
hours,
you know, but you know, something also drew me into it and intrigued me about it. And so it wasn't very long before we were like, Let's do that back home.
Right.
That's what started. Well, it was not what started, but that really impacted 622, the band you mentioned. We were doing these Friday night worship nights, and we were doing sort of Hillsong Passion-esque worship. And me and my brother, who was in the band with me, we went to Morningstar with somebody, and then we started kind of bringing that stuff back home and writing our own songs and lingering. And we had people painting and all this kind of stuff. And you know, and then we were kind of the weird ones. So,
yep. I mean, that's how it happens. Everybody, you and like 1,000 other people and me, sure. I mean, me even like have the same story. Like I was like, at first, like, what in the world is this? But then it's like,
yeah,
but I want it and I need it, you know? And it's funny, 'cause it's like, you see what it does to you in your heart and in your soul and your spirit and the connection you feel with the Lord. And it's just like, it's addictive. You're like, I gotta have it.
Yeah. I love it. Well, if those of you listening or watching haven't worshiped with David Valier, it's a blast. It's fun. It's out of the box. It's interesting. It's creative. I mean, it could go a couple different directions, but usually there's some dancing involved. The music that he puts out, he and, you know, Sam, who plays keys with you, just creates all kinds of just amazing sounds and textures and layers and rhythms. Just very unique. And I really, really appreciate that about you and your worship, because quite frankly, a lot of what's called worship music sounds a lot alike.
Yeah.
And so to have something that's, you know, I'm always looking for something that's just a little bit different. It's got a little edge to it, you know, musically or prophetically or whatever it is. And so I appreciate that about you. Is Morningstar what kind of provoked you to sort of be, you know, outside of the box, push the boundaries kind of guy? Or is that also just your personality? Because you're even that way with like your fashion and different things where you're just kind of like, you know, you're just very creative in everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was there a little bit of that already in you? And then it kind of clicked with Morningstar. You were like, oh yeah, this is who I am.
Hey guys, it's Matthew. We'll get back to the episode in just a moment. If you're enjoying the podcast, please consider becoming a paid subscriber. Paid subscribers receive exclusive access to brand new bonus podcast episodes every month, along with our library of previous bonus episodes. You will also get free access to my Enjoying Prayer video course, bonus articles from our Substack newsletter, discounts on books, and more. You can become a paid subscriber today for only $5 a month or $50 a year. If you've enjoyed this free podcast, becoming a paid subscriber is a simple way for you to help us cover the cost of producing this resource and partner with Presence Pioneers Media in equipping the church in day and night prayer, prophetic worship, missions, and revival. Click the link in the show notes or visit media.presencepioneers.org to sign up today.
Yeah, I would say so. I think honestly, being a Cajun, like our music is Zydeco music, right? Like, and if you don't know what Zydeco music is, go listen to it. It's a party. It's like lots of just really cool rhythms. Like, it was just in me. Now, also, I will say this as well, and I can say this because I'm half Black. I was always surrounded by very, like, you know, white church culture, which is fantastic. I love it. I'm half white, so I love it just as much as I love Black culture. But like, I just had that in me. I had a lot of that rhythmic and, like, you know, expressive things that weren't necessarily in white Western church for a long time. And so when I heard Morningstar and that kind of stuff, I was like, ooh, I was like, some rhythm, you know, some different, like, even like ethnic sounds. Like, that's one thing I always appreciate. It's like, you know, at some point you could be listening to polka, like sitar, Middle Eastern, like 1960s rock to techno. You just never knew what you were going to get. And I really enjoyed that. But yes, it's always kind of been in me since a young age. I liked being creative and different. I mean, let's just be honest, just weird. You know, I was like, I'm not like, you know, like a sports bro. Like, I much rather like look at a painting and like be like, yeah, that's cool. You know, instead of like go outside and play football, you know? So, that's just who I am. So yes, that it resonated a lot with me.
Yeah, for sure. So I want you to give your case for the value of some of these things. I mean, I see how they've impacted your life. Think about, I mean, a lot of people, I think they tune in the podcast, they're ministry leaders, they're house of prayer people. So they have a value for the presence of God, a hunger for the Lord, and, you know, worship and intercession. But why should we try to create these environments where people can get outside the box? Or why should we get outside of the box? You know, why should we have dancing and all these different music styles? What's wrong with just pretty plain worship music? I mean, just kind of give us your, you know, speak to the people that are tuning in, especially those who are involved in churches and houses of prayer. Like, why should this be a priority or a value?
Yeah, well, let me go ahead and say this, because I do feel like there is a, I was talking with actually Susie Urai about this the other day. I think there's sometimes this narrative that comes out, and I appreciate people like yourself that don't lean into this, but there is others that do. There's this narrative that the corporate worship that we're hearing right now is like, boo, evil, bad, like, you know. And I'm like, no, I think, I actually think it's beautiful. I got a lot of friends that are in that world that are writing these big hits that, you know, whatever. Yeah. I think those are just as appropriate as what we're talking about, the spontaneous, the indigenous sound. That's one of the things I'm going to say as I'm making my case. But I do want to make that statement first, is that I think, especially for like new believers and people that are really just anyone that has maybe the taste that likes that kind of music, that I think is totally fine. If it's towards Jesus and it's looking to please his heart and minister to his heart, you get a thumbs up from me, you know, and I believe from the Lord as well. Now,
amen.
On the opposite side of that, I do feel that, is, and especially in Western culture, it is spreading as I've traveled and stuff, I think throughout as well, because everyone's just trying to mimic, you know, Western culture, which, let me just say this, if you're watching from a different country, stop. Do you have a sound? But I will say this, is that there is a temptation to lean into what works rather than what is actually you. So I think there's churches all over the place that don't know their own sound. And here's my case in what you're saying, is that the Lord wants our sound. He wants our unique ministry to him. And that's lyrically, that's sonically, that is in our melodies. All of that, he is desiring that. He did not put that in you for no reason. And so my case is that he is actually looking for indigenous sounds. And that doesn't just mean nations, by the way. I think that means regions and expressions. And I think he's looking for more gospel music. He's looking for Latin music in worship. He's looking for, you know, hey, let's do some Zydeco worship. I'm not saying that even to be funny. Like, I think it could. Like, why not? The emotions that are being felt in that music that, you know, is honestly being used for other things but worship. If we believe what we really believe, it's meant for the Lord. And so I believe that the Lord is wanting those sounds, and he's wanting it for us to minister to his heart so that he can minister back to us. Number two, the way that it's being used elsewhere should be the way the church is using it to minister to people and to draw them into the Lord. So it's very simple. Like, I don't think it has to be overly complicated. And my ultimate, you know, case to be made here, especially in expressive worship, spontaneous worship, you know, worship that is creative, is it's biblical. There's all kinds of biblical points that the Lord makes throughout the scriptures. I'll reference a few. Sing a new song. Sing, you know, like, that's in the word multiple times. If you look at the Hebrew words for praise, there's seven of them. All seven of them have to do with exuberant physical or sounds that are coming out of us, not of the earth, not of us, the people that he created. And so a lot of this stuff is biblical. So I want to say that if some of you are like, no, we're not, because I actually saw a post the other day. It's like, we're not viewing worship, you know, biblically. Like, biblical worship is quiet reverence. Yeah, that's one of them. That's one of them. But like the Hebrew words of praise, they are so multi-layered. This is the beautiful thing about the scriptures, about the word, about the spirit, about the Holy Spirit, is that we have decided to put him like this. But he's saying there is a whole expansive world out there. While we're here on the earth, we get to bring heaven to earth. If we believe what we believe, we're seated in heavenly places. We can take what's there here. We're only bringing a fraction of that. Can you imagine if we're just in heaven, just quietly contemplating? I don't think so. You know, I think when we're before the throne, hopefully, this is my hope, is that we're going to be flying. We're going to be dancing. We're going to be in awe. We're going to be screaming. Yeah. We're going to be shouting. We're going to be silent. You know, there's going to be all kinds of things going on. But the reason that we are meant to respond this way is that he deserves it. And that ultimately, when we see him, our bodies cannot contain itself. And who knows what comes out. That's my opinion. So like, if I'm in a worship set and I hear somebody do a sound, which I've heard, I've done myself, that isn't necessarily just even the sound of like a song or whatever, listen, that's literally your body responding to who he is. Can you imagine if we actually just let ourselves fully respond to the Lord when we feel him? I think we'd all be offended because, like, there's just no way to adequately respond without doing something strange to the God of the universe. You know, it's not like we're gonna be like, oh wow, holy are you, Lord. It's like, wow, holy are you, Lord, like vibrating, you know. So anyway, my case is ultimately it's biblical and he is worthy of it, and why not, if I could sum all that up, those three right there.
Yeah,
so I have made my case.
That's great, thank you, man. Yeah, I think about in heaven where it says every tribe, tongue, nation brought before the Lord in worship. And I love the fact that in heaven, God doesn't do away with languages, even the variety of languages that he's going to be praised with. It just, to me, is a good indicator that he's saying, I'm not going to just kind of turn this into a homogenous, neutral, kind of bland expression of worship. But even in heaven, he's got all the uniqueness of all the cultures and all the languages bringing their unique worship before Jesus.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why I believe missions is important, because there's people groups out there that have a unique expression of worship, but there's not Christians in those people groups that need to be reached with the good news of Jesus. And Jesus is worthy of their worship. And
right,
like you said, there's styles of music, et cetera, that are not being used for worship. They're being used for other things in those cultures. And so God wants to redeem those things and use them for his glory.
Right.
It's beautiful. It's heavenly. It's missional. I love the way you frame that, David. That's amazing.